And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, big news edition. Bob Bowlsby has stepped down as the commissioner of the Big 12. This is being presented as a retirement. Max Olson, our buddy, the portal authority himself, talked to Bob Bowlsby on Tuesday. Max, Bob Bowlsby's life the next few weeks sounds kind of awesome. Like, he's headed to Turks and Caicos.
He is headed to Turks and Caicos. This is a man with 10 grandchildren and lots of relaxing ahead of him. Going out there for 7-8 days. And I asked him, what kind of vacationer are you? Are you going on adventures? Are you reading a book? Are you just trying to drink? What are you trying to do? And he said, you know, he'd love to read a book, but yeah, 10 grandkids, that's a lot of pool time, a lot of beach time. So Bob Bowlsby is getting out of the rat race and taking some time to recharge here.
And it's interesting, as this happened, you saw a variety of reactions across fan bases in the Big 12 and obviously soon to be not the Big 12 with Oklahoma and Texas. Very mixed reviews of Bob Bowlsby's tenure. Some people saying, oh, I guess they got rid of him. Some people saying, you know, he clearly got sick of all this stuff. You talked to him on Tuesday. I've talked to him over the years about this stuff. I get the sense that this is, hey, I've done all I can. You're probably not real happy with me about the whole Oklahoma-Texas thing. Let's just end this now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by the decision. You know, kudos to them for keeping this under wraps until they put it out
until after a Big 12 team won the national title in basketball, right, yeah, on Monday.
Yeah, and I asked him, did you tell a bunch of people in New Orleans, or did you kind of keep this close to the vest? And he didn't want to. He knew, especially among that community, when you're around all those administrators, the word's going to spread pretty fast.
Right there,
yeah, for sure. So they did a good job keeping this one under wraps and not letting it get out. But you know, it was interesting. Even the release they put out was interesting because I don't know if it's a retirement, you don't really necessarily see the board chair sort of putting his name on it and his statement on it and all that, which sort of made me ask Lawrence Skuvenek and Bob Bowlsby sort of, how did this actually go? Did the board decide, you know, we're done with you? Did Bob Bowlsby say, I'm out, sayonara? And as Bob Bowlsby explained to me, first of all, this is something he'd been thinking about for the last few years. There was really not a good time to retire in 2020 or 2021 for all sorts of reasons. And, being the not just the state of college athletics, but then working through a pandemic and working through the issues that the Big 12 had in the summer. And so this was kind of the moment where he could go to the board and say, look, my contract's ending in 2025. I'm not going to extend it past that. I'm done in 3 years. So do you want me to stay on and handle the TV negotiations in 24 and 25? Do you want me to stay on and see this transition through with the four new members and getting this all set up for 23? Or is, you know, now the right time? And the board felt that, it would make sense to, this would be a good moment to insert a new leader who could kind of get up to speed and get ready for those just unbelievably critical negotiations in 2024 that will really, sort of establish what the Big 12's future looks like.
Do you think people who work for Texas and Oklahoma, and specifically lawyers who work for Texas and Oklahoma, are sitting here going, all right, if there's a new person in charge, do we have a chance of potentially cajoling them into giving us a number so we can write a check and go to the SEC earlier?
The grant of rights does not leave with Bob Bowlsby. He's not taking that.
It's still, ironclad from the people we've talked to. That ain't going anywhere. The only way anything changes, anybody leaves before June 30th, 2025, is reasonable people come up with a reasonable number and a check.
And a reasonably sized, you know, money cannon to make everybody happy.
Exactly.
I'm, and I think I saw, you know, I saw some Texas beat writers and stuff sort of immediately start speculating about that. Oh, maybe there's a little opening here. You know, I think it'd be interesting to see, you know, the Big 12 wants to move very quickly in terms of their leadership and you know, President Skouvenek at Texas Tech, their board chair, told me that they want to have a hire in 90 days. He said, I don't know if I'll regret saying that, but he wants to have it done. They need to have it done in 90 days. And so even Mac Rhodes said that's important to them.
Does that mean Bob can get the hell out of there before they have to decide on divisions for either the new league or the new league plus Texas and Oklahoma for however long they're still there?
I suppose that you know, there are some certain things that could, and that's even, you know, Bob said he mentioned it, like, yeah, we don't know when certain members are coming in, we don't know when certain members are leaving. That stuff will get worked out. Not by Bob. He didn't have to worry about it anymore. Same with divisions, and I mean, I'm sure they'll try and make progress on that next month, and he'll still be involved. But they want to move quickly in terms of making a hire here. And I don't think that's because there's some, you know, automatic front runner that's about to step in here. Could be wrong, but you know, certainly this is a situation where there's still a lot to work out, and I think he wants to stick around in some way. I think he may even consult for the conference if that's something the next commissioner wants. But you know, I think he also recognized there's some big decisions ahead, and maybe it's time for somebody else to make them.
Well, and there've been so many decisions to be made in that chair, particularly. Obviously, the commissioners of the Power Five conferences have big jobs. They all have stuff they have to deal with. But Bowlesby, from the get-go, had to deal with a lot. He comes into a conference that had nearly, you know, shred itself apart a couple times, basically had to keep it together, had to nail down more TV deals after Dan Beebe. That's who he replaced. And then, as the leadership changed, he had to kind of change with it. He was one of the four people on that playoff subcommittee who came up with the expansion plan, which ultimately they wasted basically 3 years of their lives coming up with that thing. And I don't think he was particularly thrilled about
through no fault of their creativity. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is interesting. And
wouldn't you be fed up? I mean, yes. You talk about all these issues that are all colliding at once and being right in the middle of NIL and nothing gets done.
Right.
He also, in the middle of CFP, nothing gets done.
Yeah. He worked on the name, image, and likeness stuff for the NCAA on that committee, where they spent several years meeting about this stuff, and the membership, because you say the NCAA national office, everyone wants to villainize them. This was the membership. This was the schools doing nothing. Like agreeing to do nothing. And so all of those people, Bob Bowlesby, Gene Smith from Ohio State, all the different, Val Ackerman, the you know, Big East commissioner, all those people wasted their time. And their time is precious and their time is expensive. And so, yeah, if I were Bob Bowlesby and my time had been wasted on these two, what everybody keeps telling me are critical issues, and nothing came of it, and it was gridlock, because nobody could agree on anything, yeah, I'd be pissed off and fed up, and I'd want to get out too.
Yeah, and as we've talked about before, I mean, I think you walk out of the many rounds of meetings they had among the commissioners about the CFP expansion, I'm not sure you're walking out of that room saying, man, I'm really excited to work with these people in a couple of years and hammer this out.
Here's what I always respected about Bowlesby, too, with that. He had every reason to try to scuttle the expansion plan after the Oklahoma-Texas thing came out, because clearly it gave the SEC a bigger advantage, which I'm not sure there was anything that wasn't going to give the SEC a bigger advantage with them taking on Texas and Oklahoma. But the way that went down, he could have been a thorn in the side to Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, and said, look, you did this to us. You did this behind our backs. I'm just going to stick it to you wherever I can. He didn't do that.
He
fought for that plan and actually did something that I was blown away by this. And because he had taken a position that I didn't understand. And I asked him about it in December when everybody was out in Las Vegas for the Sports Business Journal symposium. And this was when the Big Ten and the ACC and the Pac-12 were adamant about the five Power Five champs should get automatic bids. Mm-hmm. And Bob Bowlsby with the Big 12, my thought was, well, you should be leading the charge on this, because that will designate the Big 12 as special, even though the membership is changing. Because mm-hmm. we've talked about mm-hmm. it all. The new world, there's really a power two, the Big Ten and the SEC. Right. But if you codify but that
in the future, you need to do things to protect what may be a diminished conference.
Well, what Bob Bowlsby said made a lot of sense. And his explanation, once I heard it, I was like, okay, I respect that. He said, I watched the BCS guys get dragged before Congress. I watched the threats of lawsuits. This is lawsuit bait. We mm-hmm. shouldn't do this. And mm-hmm. I said, well, what about the Big 12? What about the designation of the Big 12 as special? He's like, and the phrase he used was, we will eat what we kill. Basically, there will never be a time when the Big 12 champion is left out of that kind of playoff, a 12-team playoff that it was as the committee had proposed. I thought it was, one, very confident, and two, if you look at the performance of the league, absolutely correct.
Yeah, it's well said, and you know, it's funny because it certainly it doesn't just boil down to a couple issues like this, because these are the things he was spending his time on while also having to figure out like how to get through a 2020 season. And as you remember, Andy, in August, when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 say we're out, Big 12's right in the middle there.
Big 12 was the swing vote. Yes.
Yeah,
if the Big 12 doesn't play, nobody plays. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Remember that day. So the Big Ten says we're not playing. The Pac-12 says we're not playing. The ACC comes out first and says we're playing. The SEC doesn't say it, but everybody knows they want to play. Mm-hmm. But they won't say it because they're waiting to see what the Big 12 says. And it isn't until the Big 12 says we're playing. And the Big 12 was sort of the canary in the coal mine.
It was.
In that situation. They played first. Everybody kind of watched what they did and had to model after them. And
it could have been a huge mistake, right?
Yeah. I
mean, it could have.
Oh, yeah. It was a huge risk. But I'm not sure there's a 2020 football season without the Big 12.
And that's the thing that I understand that over the course of a decade, first of all, he took over the Big 12 at a time when it was like a joke, right? I mean, what was going on at the end of the BB era was, you know, you're losing membership. Yeah. I mean, it was super unstable.
Well, they had lost Texas A&M, Missouri, Colorado,
and Nebraska.
Yeah. And so they're down to 8. They replace with TCU and West Virginia. They go forward with 10. And look, and remember, the first college football playoff is being designed. He gets dropped into that right mm-hmm. off the bat.
Yeah. So I understand that some people, and you know, I just did that Big 12 survey a couple weeks ago. I know Texas and Oklahoma fans have no love for Bob Bowlsby, but I understand that some people can look at the decade and point to moments of dysfunction and one true champion, all these, you know, whatever, regrettable things. But you can't be dysfunctional to get through 20 and 21 like they did. I mean, and you mentioned it before, like he also had to, I know that, that obviously there are hurt feelings about Texas and Oklahoma, but you're absolutely right. When it came to Sankey, he had to take the knife out and keep moving. And that's what Bob Bowlesby, that's what he did during his tenure sometimes. Exactly. He was always professional. I think people really respected his integrity and just the way he went about the job. And, you know, I think that certainly within the conference, yes, Texas and Oklahoma left. And, you know, I think some people probably, if you're reflecting on that decade, you will say that that's a huge problem that this happened and you didn't know it was happening or whatever. But, you know, certainly not only did he hold the conference together, you know, over this past 12 months or whatever, you know, I think that they did achieve a lot over this decade in terms of stabilizing it and achieving success. And obviously they just had another national championship as a conference on Monday night.
As many jokes as everybody told, and I'm guilty of it too, about their instability,
mm-hmm.
he had them making more money than the Pac-12 and the ACC. You know, they had the Big 12 membership was not a bad deal. Obviously, Texas and Oklahoma will get a better deal in the SEC, but when you think about it, when you think about everything that happened, that should have been easily the weakest, you know, least lucrative Power Five conference. And it wasn't. It was squarely number three. And the
10 members splitting that up did well.
Yeah. So and I think the other part, people just don't understand how challenging that job is.
Yeah.
I don't think Dan Beebe did a terrible job. I think Dan Beebe gets kind of unnecessarily villainized and lampooned, but was doing the best he could. Kind of being the guy who's stuck in between Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, and Texas A&M. And I don't mean that there were two on one side and two on the other. I mean, they were all just like one had one arm, one had the other arm, and two had each leg. So like it was that's who you were as the Big 12 commissioner at that time. And so, you know, Bowlesby comes in, the president of Oklahoma is David Boren, former U.S. senator, seasoned political operator, powerful guy. Bill Powers is still the president of Texas. Like there are a lot of dudes that you got to deal with that are egos, that are, you know, they are going to try to get their way. You know, David Boren forced them into the dog and pony show of, hey, UCF and Cincinnati and everybody else, come present and tell us why we should add you to the conference, even though we all know we're not going to add anybody.
Right. Yeah. And you certainly heard a lot more people being willing to start telling us in August. Yeah. A lot of that stuff. That was because Oklahoma and Texas wanted it or didn't want it or things like that. And that's just there. That was over the course of, you know, nine of those 10 years or all 10 years. It's a very delicate thing to try to massage all those feelings. And you can look at it and say ultimately unsuccessfully if they're leaving for the ACC. But, you know, one thing Bob Bowlesby said to me when we talked for about 20 minutes, and there's a line that stood out to me. I'm curious how you looked at this one, Andy. We talked about how exhausting the past 2 years have been. He said, the thing is, we've just exclusively been playing defense. There hasn't been an opportunity to play offense.
Yeah.
And that obviously there's pandemic and there's, you know, getting rated by the SEC and there's just all the things that have gone on, exhausting athletics, exhausting in society at large and on a personal level. But you wouldn't say that about a Greg Sankey or these other leagues. That's not,
had an opportunity to play offense.
100%. But you know, that's because they have the luxury, you know, and in peacetime, Bob Bowlesby was able to achieve good things. You look at what they were able to do with ESPN Plus and Big 12 Now was, I think, a pretty forward thinking alternative to trying to do a TV network, which certainly if you ask folks in the Pac-12 and other leagues, you'd say,
everybody laughed at them for not doing a TV network, but
because they could,
the Pac-12 network has been a disaster. I'm not sure the ACC network is going to give the ACC schools what they think they want.
Right.
And what the Big 12 did with those rights is each school got to sell them. Kansas did a really good job with those. Oklahoma did a really good job with Oklahoma State. That's right. You know, had a good plan for them. So and Texas obviously created its own network. out of it.
There's been a lot of creative problem solving because the Big 12 does have some unique features to it, and some good, some bad. And you know, I think that, and you'd go back to August too, and I think anyone would probably agree, as we've talked about on this pod, those are the four best members you could have taken. They're not Texas and Oklahoma. They're not going to be Texas and Oklahoma 5-10 years from now, but it's the best you could do under the circumstances. And I think in some ways that might be the way to sum up the tenure a little bit there, that there's a lot of circumstances over that decade.
The only thing I wish he could have done, and I just felt bad. I remember standing there because I was on the field in Waco in 2014 as Art Briles is on the stage screaming at Bob Boolsby.
That's right.
And the
Bob Boolsby shrug photo from that is still legendary to me.
The one through that, like, that should have been handled better. They should have said Baylor won the head to head. They're the champ. Yeah. Let's roll it. It still wouldn't have mattered. Ohio State would have still made the playoff over both of them. But then at least a decision would have been made that everybody would have understood.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, that was definitely, you know, and they had to go, you know, confront that and make changes and you know, bring back a conference title game and all that. So,
which, by the way, was another great creative solution.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
The one versus two that everyone will ultimately copy after the Big 12 does divisions.
And same things you just talked about with, you know, with third tier rides. It put more money in everybody's pockets in the conference. And so I think that they, and especially as we start looking at these projections and say, oh, yeah, the SEC and Big 10 are running away from everybody, you can at least say up to this point, you know, I think the Big 12 has for their 10 members, you know, tried their best to try and maximize.
They have outpunched their weight.
Yeah, they've tried
for sure.
Yeah.
And so now you turn the page. You mentioned they would like to hire fairly quickly.
Are you going to be submitting a resume on that one?
Absolutely. I apply for all these jobs. It's in fact, I need to get mine ready. That's my standard issue resume column, you know, when this comes out, where I am ridiculously unqualified, but I apply anyway. I think we got to make that happen. So that sounds like something to get to work on Wednesday.
We should paywall that where, you have to, you know, someone at the Big 12 has to pay $1 million to access the article with all of your plans for, yeah.
Oh, my application can be an NFT.
Look, they want a commissioner to take them into the future. You may take deep into the future with that.
That's exactly right. It's interesting because we've just seen the Pac-12 hire George Kliavkov. When I was in Vegas in December, all the stuff was at Aria, which is an MGM resort. And he had come from MGM resorts and he was running gaming and events and attractions there. And I just remember wandering around gawking at the scale of everything. And then you walk past the MGM Grand and you realize they have more of these in other cities. And what the scale of what George Kliavkov was running, he probably thinks running the Pac-12 is the easiest job he's ever had. So I am interested to see if they go towards somebody we've never heard of who is capable of taking them in, because Coach George Kliavkov dealt with gambling. He dealt with live events, like understands how all that
stuff
works.
It was a pretty uniquely qualified resume, yes. Even though you're not in.
He'd worked in TV before as well.
Yeah, right. And look, it takes the right person. It's not just theoretical, obviously, but do you think, I don't know, is it possible that there's maybe a little bit of an overcorrection there of trying to do the left field, someone who's into, especially in the Big 12 situation, where certainly the TV deal that they'll start negotiating in March of 24 is of the utmost importance.
Critically important. And that's why I think you do look at people who've worked in television. I don't know if it's, you know, like do you try to get somebody like Nick Khan, who's at the WWE right now, who was at CAA, who was the guy the SEC hired after Chuck Gerber passed away, to do their deals, you know, with ESPN. Like, is that the type of,
you know, and that would be the right. I mean, that's the, on the Big 12 side of it. I've talked to some folks who look at that and say, man, you know, that makes sense what the Pac-12 did in terms of going with just a straight up deal maker with where this is all going. I think that you could also look at the landscape here and say, man, we need to find somebody who can, get stuff done and who can actually work with these other commissioners and can lead the, like, make the Big 12 a leader in terms of, like, a lot of these issues and where things are going here over the next few years.
We'll be right back after these words.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Let me throw a guy out. Keith Gill, the Sun Belt commissioner. Okay. The Sun Belt almost destroyed Conference USA this past offseason. And I don't think they set out to destroy Conference USA. They set out to make the Sun Belt stronger. The Sun Belt has raised where it is in the football pecking order. And I would argue that because they were very much the ninth FBS conference. And now I would say they're probably the seventh. And I don't know that people understand how hard that is to do.
And they've done it in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah. And so that's another name I would definitely consider because you look at what he's done in a time when it was there was a kind of a kill or be kill situation there at the bottom of the FBS, and he did what he had to do, and his league came out much stronger. I mean, Marshall and Old Dominion and who am I missing? Who else just joined the Sun Belt? Just got out of Conference USA. Southern Miss, yes.
Okay.
Yes, have joined the Sun Belt. And these are schools that you would have never considered. Like, that would have been joining the Sun Belt would have been considered dropping down a league even 2 years ago. Now it's considered moving up a league. And that's pretty impressive to think about. So that's another name I would throw out there. Oliver Luck, former West Virginia athletic director, who was a consultant for the Big 12. Very recently, former XFL commissioner. He was an NCAA vice president who never really felt of the NCAA when he was at the NCAA.
Yeah, and I think that I'm sure that among Big 12 fans, that'll be a name that gets thrown around a lot. I've heard Kirk Schultz, the president at Washington State, who has Big 12 experience, would be
former K-State president.
Watch.
Yep.
Certainly, Ed Stewart would be a qualified internal candidate there that I know Bob Bowlesby really likes. I think the nice thing is that there is runway here, though, because at this point, Andy, we're not playoffs not back on the table for quite a while.
No.
I think that you have time to get adjusted in this job and figure out who are the right consultants you need and the right people around you and the right approach to take in terms of the future of TV here and whether that's the usual suspects or whether that's some new entries here in terms of live sports. I think it's all, and this is part of why Bob Bowlesby, there's not a perfect time to do this, but I think this is why he's somewhat comfortable doing it now is let's give this next person a chance to figure this job out and then go make some very defining decisions.
Come on, Max. You know what he's saying. he's going to leave a note on his desk and good luck with those divisions, sucker.
divisions, as if that's the biggest problem in the sport, you know?
But if of all the things that were coming up, if I were Bob Bowlesby, it'd be the one thing that I'd look at on the agenda and be like,
like when you're in the Phoenix meetings, you just like the topic comes up and you're like, I'm getting a call. I'm going to step out. You guys can handle this, right? Yeah.
I just remembered I'm retiring. I'm going to get tacos. I'll see you later.
Andy told me about this great place for lunch.
Yes.
I'll be right
tacos
back.
Tacos Chihuahua. I'm eating some tripe and tongue tacos with Andy. We'll see you. We'll see you in a couple hours.
Would be great if when we're in Phoenix in a month, Bob Bowlesby's just letting his hair down and it's like, they can have the boring meetings, those suits. I'm good. I'm chilling.
I can see him. I would do that if I were him. Just lay
just
by the
show
pool.
Up in the Hawaiian shirt and just kick it.
yeah. Lay by the pool with Barry Alvarez.
Yeah.
And just sip. It's what a life. Bob Bowlesby, vaya con Dios. Congratulations on your retirement. I think you're one of the really good ones in this business, and I'm going to miss dealing with you. Hopefully every once in a while you'll take a phone call from us, but it's been a tough job that he's had to do, and I think he's done it pretty well.
I think that is that's well said. Didn't know it was going to be today, but I think it makes sense, and hopefully it's like coaches that retire though, Andy. I think for even someone like Bob that's been doing this for 40 years, he's 70 and he didn't think he'd be doing this all the way to 70, but it is also still hard to picture like what's free time actually going to be like.
We'll see if he can handle it. Now he's got a son who's a college sports consultant, search firm guy. Maybe Kyle Bowlesby hires a consultant with a little experience. Who just happens to be in the family. Who knows?
Isn't that what happened with Jeopardy? They had the guy consult on the search, and then he said, wait a minute.
No. Well, that's also what happened with the Ole Miss presidential search and how Dick Cheney became vice president. So,
okay, that's right.
It's a time-honored tradition. But no, Big 12 folks, just get ready. My resume will be on your desks in NFT form. I don't know if that...
Can you give us like one or two campaign promises you want to throw out there?
Yeah. The TV deal.
Other than NFTs for all.
Yeah, NFTs for all. The TV deal is going to make everyone at least, like the schools will be splitting at least $100 million a year. We're going to be on Nickelodeon. I've hired Bob Diaco as my campaign consultant. He's gonna have all the big ideas. He'll be our big idea guy. Robert Diaco now.
You're like, yeah, I've got Crackle over a barrel here. We're going to get it done.
Yeah. What, Quibi.
That's right.
We're reducing all the games to 5 minutes, and they're only going to be in portrait orientation on your phone. But they're going to pay us a boatload of money.
You get the vertical 5 minute cut of the game on Sunday morning, and you'll like it.
It's going to be outstanding. Now, that resume will be on all of your desks by the end of the week. I look forward to speaking to you all. I will do it for $750,000 a year. I'm at least the cheapest candidate, if nothing else.
Can you relocate the office like next to a Heim or a good Dallas spot?
Obviously. Or listen, if I can't convince Heim to open a location in Irving next to the current office, we are moving the office to either, you know, they've got a Heim location by Love Field. You've got the original out in Fort Worth. I know that people may feel like we're being a little too, you know, preferential to TCU if we do that. But yes, barbecue will be a factor in where we put the headquarters.
First day on the job, you walk into your office, you say, show me that lease, you just rip it up.
Actually, I'm going to pull a Kliavkov and be like, we don't have a headquarters anymore. You can work from home. All our meetings are at Heim Barbecue or Pecan Lodge. Done.
Yes. We're going to streamline the staff so that everyone can fit into Heim. And that's where we're going to meet once
or Lockhart Smokehouse every once in a while. We can just walk over to Emporium Pies afterward. Mm-hmm. We can just take it around the league. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to. We can go up to Ames and have Hickory Park. Like, that's where the meeting is that day. We can go out to UCF. You know, we go I almost said the bubble room, which is like a very classic Orlando eatery. Like that's where the fancy people went when I was in high mm-hmm. school. That I don't think it's existed in like 20 years.
Do you think that within a year or two of being commissioner, and look, I know you would do a good job of, you know, not having leaks and handling things the right way. But do you think within a year or two, you've got a Canzano or a Wilner coming after you saying the food spending is unreal at this conference? It's out of control. 100%.
The question is which Big 12 based column? Because remember, Kirk Bowles is out. Yep. He's dealing with the SEC at this point. Barry Trammell still going to be in the footprint because of Oklahoma State. I think Barry's going to be up my you know what because he's a good dogged reporter. who else would be Don at the Avalanche Journal? I think that Don could Williams. Be a problem. He's a really good reporter too. Kellis Robinette, who covers K-State. That might be the problem. The beat
Randy
core
Peterson's
might
gonna be all
too
over your
good.
Ass. Yep.
Like they would discover that I'm a complete fraud very quickly.
but you would take them out to lunch, and that would schmooze them for a period of time. I think that would be effective.
I think it'd be it would work for at least 6 months.
Yeah, I think so. But then it's once you start reporting those receipts,
it'll be like Larry Scott with sweets.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Andy's barbecue bill is outrageous.
Andy is taking half of this home as leftovers. He's just over-ordering everything.
You always over-order, Max.
That's right.
That's just the rules. All right. Resume will be on your desk by Friday. I await your call. Talk to you later.